To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the sun's light emerging from the cloud-filled blue sky over an otherwise unremarkable and perhaps bleak late winter, early spring upstate New York landscape comes to us from yours truly as I captured this scene from the clearing at the end of Freedom Road last Wednesday. Well, it's Monday, and while today's photo may not look like much, I took it because I was thanking God for the mild winter we have had thus far in both the real upstate and my place down by the river, knowing that it didn't necessarily have to be this way. And while we have had a lot of rain over the last couple of weeks, I have thanked God for that too, because I know it could have been snow. That's the spiritual practice of it could have been worse, coupled with gratitude that can cause a low mood, to be raised to baseline contentment, if not raised to the heights of joy. It's gray and it's raining. Isn't it great? It's better than it could be. It could have been, and it could have been worse. And I could have lived through, and I have lived through days when it has been worse, which I have survived, though. Mind you, thank you, Lord, and so I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. The state of the weather doesn't have to affect the state of our minds, and if it can be seen from its proper perspective, circumstances don't give us peace and joy. True joy and peace are fruit of the Spirit, and so they only come through abiding with and following the Lord. So walk in it. It just happens to be the season to walk with the Lord, to repent and believe in the gospel. It's the season of Lent. And speaking of Lent, it's the 29th day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walk through Gracia Grendel's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. In this walk through of Grendel's devotional, it's our hope that we'll get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday, or Easter. And so, Journey Day 29, there Martin Luther writes, "May your kingdom come. How does this come about? Whenever our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that through his grace we believe his holy word and live godly lives here in time and hereafter in eternity. God desires nothing more from us than that we ask many and great things of him. And on the contrary, he is angered if we do not ask and demand with confidence. Imagine if the richest and most powerful emperor commanded a poor beggar to ask for whatever he might desire and was prepared to give him lavish royal gifts, and the fool asked only for a dish of beggar's broth. He would rightly be considered a rogue and a scoundrel who had made a mockery of the imperial majesty's command and was unworthy to come into his presence. Just so, it is a great reproach and dishonor to God if we, to whom he offers and pledges so many inexpressible blessings, despise them or lack confidence that we shall receive them, and scarcely venture to ask for a morsel of bread." That was from Martin Luther, and the biblical wisdom that's paired with that is from Luke 12, 32 and 33, where Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." And at this point, our devotional tells us to take silence for meditation for a few minutes. So we advise that you can take this time to pause the podcast or stop reading and sit silently while you reflect on what Martin Luther had to say or what Luke 12, 32, and 33 has to say. But after you're ready, you can join me as we face the questions that they want us to ponder. The first one is, why is it a great reproach and dishonor to God when we lack confidence that God has provided, that God will provide for us, and fail to ask for all that we are commanded to ask for? Well, it's a great reproach and dishonor to God when we lack confidence that he will provide for us or ask for all that he has commanded to ask for because it shows a lack of trust and faith in him to provide for us or to bless us. While I can understand the hesitancy to make prosperity gospel prayers and to put all of our faith in receiving their fulfillment, God does not want us living in the fear that we won't be provided for or to doubt that he can't or won't bless us with good things in life. When I was picking up the pieces of a broken life by divorce, I would have been content with a shack or for a new home and confessed as much to my pastor at the time, Jerome Halstead, professing that I didn't need anything fancy and that I could be content with a dump. To which Jerome corrected me about being specific in prayer and to trust God for the good things by simply stating, if you pray for a dump, you're going to get a dump. So trust the Lord to provide and ask for good things, because my prayers for a good house that would meet my family's needs and not be a dump came my way, and it just happened to be in the first real estate transaction that any of the agents sitting around the closing table had in the early days of emerging from the pandemic in 2020. God is good, so ask him for good things. And the second question of our devotion is, Jesus speaks of the Father's good pleasure. Luther talks about God's anger. How would you put these two emotions together in your picture of God? Well, God is complex. Surprise. He is. But seriously, God is holy, and his good pleasure is to bless those who seek to know him and who honor him with their love and obedience. However, God has given us free will to choose to reject him and live contrary to his word, to be rebellious and to do evil in the sight of the Lord. We are free to do that, but a just and holy God can and will make us accountable for the things we say and do, and that go against his purposes. His anger is an appropriate response to the evil rebellion that some of his creatures freely choose to live in. And thus, we can know God by his good pleasure or by his anger. It depends on our understanding of and relationship with him. And the final question is, why is the beggar who demurs from asking God for anything not living a godly life? A beggar who demurs from asking God for anything is not living a godly life because he's not trusting God and not giving himself completely to God by refusing to be, quote-unquote, obligated to the Lord for the things God provides. By asking for just enough, we limit our relationship with God. We are not putting our whole heart in our trust of the Lord. Or we are living in disbelief. We don't think God can do it. Also, if the beggar receives an abundance, he may feel obligated to surrender to the Lord abundantly. And so he holds himself back and is not godly. And that moves us along to the psalm fragment that our devotion shares, which is Psalm 34, 8 through 10, where the Word of God says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his holy ones. For those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." And that moves us along to our journal reflections. And which says, the first one is, reflect on a time when you act more like the poor beggar in your relationship with God, asking only for a little when you really wanted much more. Why did you refrain from asking more? As I stated above, when talking about praying for a new home in 2020, I was being beggarly. I was looking at houses that were dumps and was ready to buy one, but was saved by a wake-up call from the Lord, who used my pastor, a building inspector, and common sense to think and pray again. I wanted more, but I didn't think I was worthy or able to get something good. But God used my hard work and willingness to go and see the house in Stuyvesant that didn't look so good online, only to discover, much to my delight, that this could work. And then had the Lord confirmed to me in prayer that this is the place and this will happen. So don't refrain from asking for more. The Lord wants to bless those who follow him and you never know what you can receive unless you ask God to help you. You ask and receive. Knock and let the door be open to what God has for you. And that was the second journal prompting, is meditate on your image of God and how that affects your prayer life. The image of God. Getting an image of the Father or Holy Spirit can be difficult. They are spirit after all, but that doesn't stop me from speaking to them. The best image of God is to imagine Jesus in a picture, and the picture of him that is painted in the pages of the Bible. The same goes for the Father and the Holy Spirit, of course. It is a robust picture I get from Scripture of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that informs me about God and drives me to trust him and to follow his will for my life. God, of course, is real and active in the world and in my life specifically. And it is through all of this that I love God, go to him in prayer, and walk and talk with him literally every day. And the final journal prompting is, does it surprise you that your failure to ask for anything, for everything from God is a reproach or a dishonoring of God? If so, reflect on how you might learn to honor God by presuming more from God. This does surprise me a little bit, I suppose. We think that God wants us to be humble and content, but our failure to ask God for more could be seen as not trusting him to provide for us or bless us. So let's trust God and ask him to bless our socks off. He has already blessed us by saving former sinners like us. We are saints now. So why not see what else the Lord has in store and ask for more? And the prayers of the life of faith direct us to think of some things you have wanted from God but did not dare ask for. Think of another who might also have the same timidity. Pray that you both will be given the grace to overcome your fear. Lord, I have dared not to ask you to bless my ministry or to provide me with a full-time ministry that would allow me to retire from my current day job and spend my work hours in service of you. But I'm asking you to supernaturally bless me with that now, in Jesus' name. I also pray for my brother in Christ, Rafe, that you would bless his heart's desire to have a business that will provide for him and would give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two examples, anyway. And I pray, Lord, for you to bless my family today as we face a crisis. Pray for healing. I pray for your blessings and your protection in this time. We've won a great battle in finding our freedom and helping others in freedom, Lord. But we have my son, Brennan, who's suffering right now. From depression, and is being evaluated for admission to the hospital as we speak. And Lord, I just pray for you to be with him and to get him the help he needs, and for you to touch his heart and his mind, to open it to the hope that we all have in you. I pray for that in Jesus' name right now. Amen. And finally, the prayer for today from today's devotion is, good and gracious Lord, you are rich, and I am poor. Send your Holy Spirit to befriend me so that I dare to come to you and ask for all things. Amen. That brings us to today's Bible verses from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses come from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. Today's verses are Proverbs 23, 4, and 5. And the Word of God says, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eye is light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Today's verses are the first of three passages of Scripture that fall under the 15th point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. That 15th point is, don't wear yourself out to get rich. Today's verses teach the truth about the ability for wealth, the ability of wealth to leave us as quickly as it comes. In my life, I've had times when an abundance of financial windfalls has come my way, only to see those funds vanish into the ether, as my spending or unforeseen expenses made the money fly out of my pockets. So don't toil for riches, because they don't ultimately satisfy us, and unless you submit to the Lord and to be a good steward of your finances, the money you gain today will be flying away like an eagle toward heaven tomorrow. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. Today, Alford directs us to read Luke 18. And from Luke 18, he shares a portion of verse 28, which says, "See, we have left all and followed you." And Stephen Alford writes, "Peter must have had a poor conception of his Lord when he said these words. No doubt the words were true enough, humanly speaking, but when compared to the preciousness of the blessed Lord, such words should never have been uttered. We have left all. What was the all anyway, when compared with all the spiritual blessings in Christ? He obviously had not risen to the experience of the Apostle Paul when he could say, 'I count all things as rubbish, that I may gain Christ.' Or again, 'My God shall supply all your need.'" Philippians 4:19. And Alford closes, "O Lord, grant that I shall never consider that I have given anything up for you, for you have become all the world to me." Amen. Well, that concludes our sharing today on the podcast. This morning I was disturbed during the first recording of today's podcast by a knock on my window by the New York State Police, as my son, Brennan, apparently made suicidal comments online. And thankfully, the police were alerted of the possible danger to my son's life and were called or dispatched to my house. I immediately escorted the police inside, and the cops didn't even have to say anything. I've worked mobile crisis. I knew what they were here for. It was for my son who's making these comments. They were concerned for his safety. So I told Brennan that they wanted to take him to the hospital and have him evaluated. And luckily, Brennan is definitely, I would diagnose as clinically depressed currently, agreed to go to the hospital. So I drove him, the police escorted us, and they got him into the ER to get him admitted, and I'm waiting for word from them, from the hospital, to know whether or not my son will be admitted for psychiatric care or not. Right now, I'm guessing he will. This is good. My son Brennan's been stagnant for 2 months now in clinical depression after quitting his job. I've asked him to get help. I've tried to supply him help with the resources I have as a Christian, quasi-Christian counselor, unlicensed. But he didn't take the help I had to offer. He did go to see some therapists with mental health in the last couple of weeks, but they just had follow-up appointments. They just talked to him. I don't know exactly what was discussed, but no medications were given, and something drove my son to make suicidal comments, or I don't know what, I don't know the content of his messages, but it was enough that the police were tipped off, and, they came to my home this morning. So I'm asking for prayer, basically for my son to be safe and to get the help he needs. And to, I pray for the Lord to come into his life, to open his eyes to who he is in Christ. Just yesterday, I helped a man who suffers from depression through the steps of freedom in Christ, and saw great hope come into him as he renounced all these lies he believed in that kept him in this cycle of condemnation. I know from personal experience, from myself and from the work I've done with other people, that the Lord can set you free from the bondages of negative and condemning thoughts in your head. But you have to come to the Lord. You have to ask him for help. You have to put your trust in Jesus, and then agree with what God's word says about you. And you can be set free of really anything. But as I said, we have that free will, and we can choose to reject him and do things that aren't good for us. And unfortunately, my son made those decisions, and he's been living in them for a long time. And now he's at a crisis point, and it's my prayers that he gets the help he needs today. So if you have negative or condemning thoughts, or thoughts of harming yourself or killing yourself, I beg you to call the suicide hotline to talk to someone and talk to your family and friends about it. Get some help. Go to mental health. Go to your doctor. Get the help you need, because mental health is a real problem in our country. As a former volunteer for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, I know that it's sort of a pandemic of itself in our country, as the suicide rates go up every year. So when my son, you know, made those comments, I'm very glad. I'm very glad that he got the help from the state police to come to my house, and the Columbia County Sheriffs that helped. We're here to help us to back up the state police. And, you know, as today's title is, it could have been worse. Well, it could have been a lot worse in my life this morning. And I won't be going to work today because I'm on standby to see what happens to my son. But it could have been worse. So we'll be practicing the spiritual practice of it could have been worse. And we will thank the Lord that it wasn't worse, and that today is another day in his kingdom. And so let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. We thank you for the blessings of this life. Lord, we thank you for the intervention that came in the most unexpected ways today to lead things, hopefully in a good way. And Lord, we trust you with the outcomes, and we ask for your help to help my son in this time of need, and to help anyone else who might be suffering in this way. Lord, we pray for the people listening today, that they'd be encouraged that the Lord can help, and we could ask for big things and good things in our lives. And it's not about money. It's about peace and joy with you. Lord, we just pray for you to be with us today as we lean on you, and ask for your forgiveness for anything we've done wrong. We feel condemned, but we know we're accepted by you. So we'll stand in that, Lord. So we just ask for you to open our eyes to the things you want us to see. Move us in the way we should go today, as we do every day. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.